So as I mentioned just a little bit ago, I have been feeling some exasperation lately, and frustration, and irritation, for a variety of reasons that I'm not going to bore you with this morning. Of course, they are completely legitimate reasons, but whether my exasperation is legitimate or not, it's not a great feeling. It's not one that I particularly enjoy. It's not one that I'm especially proud of. However, I do take some comfort in knowing that Jesus, too, felt that way on occasion. Sometimes he seemed to feel frustrated with his disciples at their lack of comprehension or their lack of faith. I suspect we're all familiar with the phrase, "Oh, ye of little faith." Maybe we've even said it sometimes or thought it. Jesus is reported to have said that to his disciples a number of times. And there's the time he called them faithless and perverse, followed by what I can only believe was an exasperated outburst. "How much longer do I have to put up with you?" And there were other moments of frustration, some that were recorded, and I can only believe that there were some, maybe many, that were not recorded. At other times, of course, and seemingly more often, he was irritated and exasperated with the religious leaders. And I know I'm putting myself at risk here. I imagine that was the case in the situation that we read about in today's passage. Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing and feeding and, well, being Jesus for a couple of years at this point, at the point of today's passage, give or take. And in doing that, as we know, he had already made quite a few enemies among the Jewish leaders. His message of grace and forgiveness as the fulfillment of the law was not one that they liked. It was threatening to them. In fact, right before the story that we hear in today's passage, Jesus had done something, again, that had upset them greatly. He had broken the law. He had broken one of God's commandments, one of the Ten Commandments that God had given Moses. He had not observed the Sabbath. How could he possibly be a man of God or a man from God, as he claimed, if he didn't observe the Sabbath? And it wasn't the first time. This time, if you look back, he healed a man born blind from birth on the Sabbath. And on another Sabbath day, there's a story, he healed a man who had been ill and paralyzed for 38 years. He healed him on the Sabbath. And there had been other things, as we know, that he had done and other things he had said that made no sense, that didn't go along with the law, that seemed to contradict what they had been learning and teaching all of their lives. Laws that had kept God's people set apart and holy. Laws that had kept order among God's people. So much of what Jesus had been saying and doing seemed to fly in the face of the law as they knew it, and as it had been passed down to them for thousands of years. And yet Jesus made these statements about who God is and about himself and who he was. He made these statements about being the Son of God and, in the Gospel of John, the bread of the world and the light of the world, the bread of life and the light of the world. It was making them crazy. Not to mention, people seemed to love him and listen to him. So many people seemed drawn to him, drawn to him and away from them, away from God, away from God's law. Was he really a man of God? Was he really a man from God? Or was he crazy or possessed by some kind of evil spirit? So on that day that we read about, heard about, they asked him. The text says the Jews, meaning some of the religious Jewish leaders, gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Just tell us. Make it easy for us. Come on, just say it." And here's where I imagine Jesus' exasperation. Really? You have to ask me that? You call yourselves men of God, and you still have to ask me that? Are you kidding? Where have you been all this time? Have you been around me at all? Do you really know who God is at all? Have you been paying attention at all? Good grief! If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly, they said to him, I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. Can you imagine his exasperation with them? I have told you with my words, but you're not listening. I have shown you with my works, but you don't see. I have told you with my words more about who God is than the law will ever be able to tell you. I've revealed to you by my works more of what God desires than the law will ever be able to teach you. I've healed diseased bodies, and I've offered wholeness to broken spirits. I've fed bellies, and I've nourished souls. I've called out injustice, and I've denounced false religion. I've forgiven with abandon, and I have loved with extravagance. I have told you plainly who I am, and I have shown you plainly who God is, and you do not believe. He says, you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. When I read that first last week, and as I've read it at other times, I've been struck by this feeling that that seems a little bit unfair. When Jesus says, you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep, that seems a little exclusive or exclusionary, a little like he's saying, you don't believe because you're not one of us. It felt like he was saying, you can't believe because you're not among my sheep. Too bad for you. Sorry. Like it was some sort of done deal. Which, given his level of exasperation and anger with some of these religious leaders, may seem understandable. But not really. So as I kept thinking about it, it struck me that there's maybe another way to read it. Listen to that part again. You do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Here's what I suddenly heard. You do not belong to my sheep because my sheep hear my voice. My sheep, the people who belong to me, hear my voice and they listen. They hear my words and they hear the voice of God. My sheep, the people who belong to me, hear my voice and they know that I know them. And they know that God knows them. My sheep, the people who belong to me, hear my words and they follow me, doing what I do and living as I live and loving as I love. And they find that they're following God and they find fullness of life. You so-called religious leaders hear my voice, but you don't listen to my words. And so you don't belong to me. You hear my words, but you don't hear the voice of God. And so you don't belong to me. You hear my voice, but you don't know me, nor do you want to be known by me. You hear my words, but you don't love me and won't let yourselves be loved by me. You hear my words, but you don't hear God. You see my works, but you don't see God. You don't hear what I'm trying to tell you. You don't see what I'm trying to show you. So no, you don't belong to my sheep. You could, but you don't. And you are missing out on life. You are missing out on forgiveness and mercy and healing and wholeness and abundance and grace and wild, extravagant, deep, relentless love. You are missing out. So what about us? When we hear the voice of Jesus, do we hear the voice of God? When we see the works of Jesus, do we see the desire of God? The answer may seem easy and automatic, but I would suggest that we consider it carefully. Because if we say yes, then we are among his sheep, and God is our shepherd. And if we are among his sheep, and God is our shepherd, then we will be known and loved by God. And if we are known and loved by God, then we will not be able to not follow that one who knows and loves us more deeply and intimately than we know and love ourselves. And if we follow God, if we follow Jesus, in whom and through whom we know God, then we will be asked to do what he did and live as he lived and love as he loved. And so again, I ask us to consider, when we hear the voice of Jesus, do we hear the voice of God? When we see the works of Jesus, do we see the desires of God? Are we ready both to receive and then to share God's forgiveness and mercy, God's healing and wholeness, God's abundance and grace, God's wild, extravagant, deep, and relentless love? Are we ready to receive that and then share it? Are we willing to claim our place among his sheep with God as our shepherd? We should consider it carefully, because it will change our lives. We should consider it today, because it can bring us life. Amen.